From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of July, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Logan Kimmel. He's at Roach Ag Marketing in Naperville, Illinois. We'll hear from the state statisticians in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota, and I'll update you on the numbers released by USDA in the Weekly Crop Progress Report. And then as we close out our time together, we'll step into the Wayback Machine eventually, but bring you up to speed first on a soil science experiment that's been taking place here on campus since 1904 in the Morrill Plots, and how the soil samples from then and today and across the nation are spanning generations and expanding the horizons of soil science. We'll do all of that on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, September corn for the day settled at $3.88¾, down 7.5. December at 405, 7¼ lower. The March at 420¼, down 6¾. August soybeans at 10.27¼, a loss today, down 27.5 cents. The September 10.11, down 19, and November beans at 10.21¼, down 18¼ cents. Bean meal at 3.52, down 3.50. The bean oil at 42.75, 9 cents lower on the day. December wheat futures soft red, down 6¼. It finished at $5.49, and the hard red December at 5.66¼, down 3 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $187.45. That's up 65 cents for 100 pounds. Feeder cattle at $256.95, 87.5 higher, and lean hogs at $74.77.5, down a nickel on the day. Crude oil at $74.79 a barrel, $1.02 lower. The diesel fuel or heating oil down 3 2/10 at $2.36 a gallon. And gasoline on the wholesale price from the RBOB, $2.34.5. That's 2 6/10 of a cent lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands for the afternoon at 40,912, up 141 points. Logan Kimmel from Roach Ag Marketing now joins us. He's in Naperville, Illinois. Thank you, Logan, for being with us today. I appreciate that a lot. Can you give me your assessment of the grains markets for today and as Roach Ag Marketing is seeing it at this moment?
Yeah, a little bit of a turnaround here today to the downside. Partly because some widespread rains came through here this morning in parts of Iowa and Illinois. So I think we're seeing a little bit of pressure or lack of crop production problems being taken out of the market here, which has caused some sell-offs here this week and today continuing in the soybean complex. And bringing down the corn and the wheat here with it today as well. So there's still a lot of time left here on the soybean crop, but we've seen a lot of premium being taken out of this market in the last three trading sessions led by the beans.
This is the third trading session, as you mentioned, to the downside market. However, the last two have roughly the same bottom area. Do you think there's a opportunity to bounce this market, or will it try to pierce down to what, 10-10 or something like that?
Yeah, I'd say yesterday's price action, all things considered, wasn't too bad the way we came off those lows. But yet here today, on the close, we on these soybean contracts, we did run down to those, and November beans did hold that 10-18 low from yesterday. However, you'd be a little concerned here on the chart if you get below that low. So it's something to note. Beans have been in a free fall the last 3 days. If we can find some traction and some support at lower prices here, whether that be from Asia buying or technical support, I think that'd get us going back the right direction here on a chart for soybeans.
And for corn, we've had a 25-cent trading range, relatively speaking, all of it down from the beginning of the month. What are your expectations there?
Well, today we've pulled back here, led by September corn, now in the upper 380 range. Problem we might run into here with folks holding on to old crop corn, whether that be on basis. You eventually got to make a decision whether to sell or roll. And that could have been partly today on the soybeans as well, with the first notice day on August here tomorrow. So you might see some hedge pressure leak into this market on old crop as we get closer to the end of the marketing year when those decisions have to be made. I think that could have been a little bit of today's action here on this old crop corn and bean market.
What are you hearing from Roach Ag Marketing directly about what producers can or maybe should do at this time?
Well, I think at this point in time, opportunities in the market on rallies, whether that be for old crop or new crop, if folks need to catch up and get marketing done, I think we should use rallies in the market to do so, to clean up your old crop. And if you're worried or feel undersold on new crop, there might be some opportunities on the horizon, whether that be with carry advantages. But as we stand right now, we're not hearing, at least in the most part of the corn belts, folks are thinking their crop is going to be okay. So we, looking for a bullish fundamental story to develop, if we can catch one, I think producers need to take advantage of that on any rally.
On the flip side, if they have an okay or a better than average crop, and I don't know where you stand on that, there will be more bushels at lower price, but still more bushels to provide income in this year. How are you telling producers to think about those extra bushels?
Right, and that's the plus side on that equation. And look, this week will be big because we'll start to get some private estimates on yield starting to come out, Stone X on Thursday. But I think folks have to look at that on the positive, and any bushels you didn't maybe market for or account for, if you can catch a rally in this market, I would look at that as, a double-double there, and maybe don't let those opportunities go by either for bushels that you might not have thought you had if you are having and are fortunate to have a better crop than you had planned.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Logan Kimmel. He is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Naperville, Illinois. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 77% of the corn crop has entered the silking stage, 30% now in dough, 22% is the rolling five-year average. The condition of the crop is up 1 percentage point from last week to 68%, good to excellent. The condition of the soybean crop down 1 percentage point from last week at 67%, good to excellent. 77% of that crop is now blooming, and 44% has started to set pods. 40% is the rolling five-year average. The winter wheat harvest is now 82% complete. The five-year average is 80%. Here are some of the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician. Scattered rainfall allowed Iowa farmers 5.8 days suitable for field work during the week ending July 28, 2024. Field activities included harvesting oats for grain, cutting and baling hay, and applying fungicides. Topsoil moisture condition rated 1% very short, 12% short, 80% adequate, and 7% surplus. Corn silking hit 85% this week, 2 days behind last year, but 2 days ahead of the five-year average. 34% of the corn crop has reached dough stage or beyond, 1 day ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of average. 2% of the corn crop has reached the dent stage. Corn condition was rated 77% good to excellent. 83% of soybeans were blooming, 4 days behind last year, but 1 day ahead of normal. Soybean setting pods reached 43%, 2 days behind last year. Soybean condition was rated 76% good to excellent. Hay condition rated 78% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 71% good to excellent. Heat stress in livestock was reported. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were cooler than average for the fourth consecutive week, but rainfall was below normal last week across Illinois, and topsoil moisture was rated 2% very short, 9 short, 82 adequate, and 7% surplus. 88% of soybean acres are now blooming compared to 86% 1 year ago and 71% for the 5-year average. 58% of acres are setting pods compared to 37% normally. Soybean conditions were rated 7% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 72% good to excellent. 87% of corn acres are silking compared to 93% 1 year ago and 85% for the 5-year average. 34% of acres have reached the dough stage compared to 26% normally. Corn conditions were rated 6% very poor to poor, 18% fair, and 76% good to excellent. The second cutting of alfalfa hay is now 89% finished, and the third cutting has reached 26% complete. Pasture conditions were rated 5% poor, 32% fair, and 63% good to excellent, with 0% very poor. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus. Hot, dry weather allowed Minnesota farmers 5.7 days suitable for field work during the week. Activities included cutting hay and small grain harvest. Livestock are doing well with no issues reported. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 0% very short, 3% short, 70% adequate, and 27% surplus. Corn silking reached 63%. That's 1 week behind last year and 4 days behind the 5-year average. Corn reaching the dough stage was at 13%. Corn condition remained 58% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 73%. That's 8 days behind last year and 5 days behind the 5-year average. Soybean setting pods reached 33%, and the condition of the soybean crop rose to 60% good to excellent. Spring wheat coloring was at 66%, with harvest beginning at 2% complete. Condition of the crop was rated 83% good to excellent. All hay condition was 71% good to excellent, and pasture condition was 76% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Nathaniel Wernske, Indiana State Statistician. Soils dried out and crop progress continued after the storm in previous weeks. Topsoil moisture levels decreased from the previous week with 73% rated adequate or surplus. Corn silking progress was reported to be ahead of the 5-year average at 81%, while nearly half of the Indiana soybean crop was sitting pods. The condition of corn and soybean crops improved slightly, with 70% and 68% reported to be in good to excellent condition, respectively. Timely rainfall allowed ample fieldwork opportunity and alleviated disease and crop stress concerns, except in isolated counties that missed the precipitation. Pasture conditions decreased slightly in drier conditions, but cattle feedlots remained muddy. Other activities included fungicide and insecticide applications and county fair activities. This is Nathaniel Wernske, Indiana State Statistician with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. Our theme music comes courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Up next, a story we've heard something about before, but that bears repeating. You know, science has been studying the growing of crops for a very long time, but the study of soil itself, well, that's newer. Researchers are finding that there's a lot to be learned about how farming has impacted soil over the decades. And as Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows reports, that research could be greatly helped by the discovery of soil samples right here on campus that are over a century old.
On a Sunday morning in August of 2018, University of Illinois soil scientist Andrew Margonaut drove out to a dilapidated barn on the campus farm. Inside, using a headlamp to pierce the darkness, Margonaut discovered a treasure trove.
I realized within about 5 minutes of walking through these cobwebbed, very dark hallways, that there were row upon row, shelf upon shelf of soils, and that these were the original soils taken in the mapping of the state.
There were thousands of soil samples stored in mason jars and other sealed containers going back as far as the 1860s. The soil, taken from nearly every Illinois county, mostly in the early 1900s, was used to map soil types and help farmers determine growing conditions. The collection was orphaned in 2003 after the death of the last researcher to work with it. Professor Marginot says his rediscovery sent his mind reeling with the research possibilities.
I didn't sleep for about two nights because I was so excited by all the things that we could answer.
Marginot is contacting farmers and landowners so he can take new soil samples in the same locations. He wants to study how the soil has changed over more than a century to learn about long-term changes in nutrients, microbial activity, and soil stability. That's a rare opportunity. U.S. Department of Agriculture soil scientist Mark Liebig says the soil samples in most soil archives are less than 40 years old.
The average human lifespan now is right around 73 years. With the exception of a few places across the globe, we really don't know how the soil changes over that duration of time.
Liebig says he believes many older soil archives that did exist have been lost either forever or until they're found again. At Penn State University, another collection showed up in a storage closet 4 years ago. The samples date from 1915 and 1933 from a now-demolished test plot on campus. Rita Grafe with Penn State's Pasto Agricultural Museum says nowadays they can analyze the soils in new ways, even reviving the soil's dormant microbes.
But we need to preserve these collections because in the future, there might be technologies that let us further understand what was happening in the soil then so that we can make decisions going forward.
We have the Morrow plot samples going back to 1904 up here as well.
At the University of Illinois today, thousands of jars of soil line shelves in a much newer barn. Marginot picks one up.
And this one, for example, this is a good example of a jar where the label is not in great shape, as you can see.
But a little paper inside the jar gives more information. Marginot is using all that data to reach out to landowners and ask permission to take new soil samples at more than 450 specific locations. So far, he's gotten around 60. One of those new samples comes from John Kiefner's farm southwest of Chicago.
I see it as an avenue for me to maybe get more educated and become a little smarter. I'm really curious to see how this soil has changed from 1957 to 2024.
Kiefner adopted no-till farming more than three decades ago. He hopes to learn that he's actually improved his soil, or at least not harmed it. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
So let's get into the Wayback Machine now. Just as a reminder, Andrew Marginot, the current soil scientist here on campus in Urbana-Champaign, found this set of very old samples in a building on the South Farms. Now, he entered that building not long ago, as I did in July of 2001 with the curator of the set of samples at the time, the late Ted Peck, who had found that same set of samples in a different building on campus in the 1990s.
We're here in a place which is the Archival Soils Building. This represents a collection that I'm not aware exists hardly any other place within the United States.
Ted Peck is a soil chemist at the University of Illinois, and this is his love and a gift of sorts to the people of Illinois. A tin shed filled with about 30,000 soil samples in glass jars.
West Salem, Illinois. September 29th, 1933, and this soil sample represents the A2 horizon, and it comes from plot 105B.
You might not think a bunch of dirt in glass jars is worth much, but if you begin to contemplate all that has changed since the first samples housed here were pulled from a place called the Morrow Plots in 1904, you just might come to a different conclusion.
These samples, of course, you know, were stored in glass before the bomb was exploded, before we ever burned lead in the gasoline and then quit burning lead before all of the agricultural chemicals were synthesized, like DDT or many of the herbicides.
Inside these jars lay many secrets, the baseline levels of all sorts of things almost 100 years ago, from chemicals to plant diseases. The samples come from all over Illinois and every decade, but the cornerstone of the collection are the Morrill Plotts soil samples that date to 1904. The Morrill Plotts are the oldest continuous research plots in the nation and the second oldest in the world. The soil samples and the crop production data still collected today make the Morrill Plotts and the Soil Archive, when combined, a living legacy passed from one generation to the next. A legacy best described, maybe, by an inscription chiseled in stone on the face of Davenport Hall at the University of Illinois. It reads, "The wealth of Illinois is in her soils, and her strength lies in its intelligent development."
There's more, of course, to the story of these soil samples that were lost and then found and then rediscovered. In fact, the first time around that Ted Peck found them was in the 1990s, the late 1990s, when a colleague of his from Missouri called and said, "You know, we've heard stories that there are soil samples from our state stored on your campus." And the two of them went on a hunt and found a treasure. Let's check the weather forecast for the Corn Belt. We'll start in Nebraska, where Kearney will have a high today of 97. They'll drop back to 71 overnight and then move into the 90s for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunday as well, back up to 98 on Monday in Kearney. In Des Moines, Iowa today, a high of 93, tomorrow 96, 87 for Thursday. They'll stay in that range all the way through Monday with their lows in the 70s. In Blue Earth, Minnesota, 89 for the high today, 91 tomorrow, 81 on Thursday, maybe a 50% chance of rainfall then, back to 87, 88, and 83 by the time we get to Sunday. In Springfield, Illinois, 92 for the high today, overnight low at 74, 92 tomorrow, 93 Thursday. Friday, 84 degrees for the high, and Saturday, 89 by Monday, 89 degrees there as well. And finally, in Indianapolis, Indiana, today, 90 degrees, the overnight low tonight, 72, Thursday, 93, Friday, 85, Saturday, 86, and on Sunday, 90. You've, of course, been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You may find and listen to the whole of our programming anytime you'd like online right now at willag.org. That's willag.org. Just click and play from the website, or if you hit the podcast link, you'll find a way to subscribe to the Closing Market Report Commodity Week and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. I'm Todd Gleason.